Welcome to Pay's second quarter earnings call. My name is Natalia, and I will be your operator for today. Currently, all of the attendees are in silent mode. Questions can be asked through the web platform. These will be answered at the very end of the session. Please keep in mind that this conference is being recorded. So, as of now, let's begin the call and give the floor to Mr. Andres Felipe Ruiz, CFO and IRO of Pay Asset Management. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us in this earnings call for the second quarter of 2024. Today, we have Jairo Corrales, our CEO, Andres Esquivel, our Chief Commercial Officer. So Jairo Corrales will begin by providing us an update on the results of the period and will also give us developments in terms of our strategy. Then we'll talk about the commercial operation of the vehicle and look at the financial results as well as the development of the capital market for the second half of 2024. And we will end the call with our usual Q&A session. So let's give the floor to our CEO, Jairo Corrales. Good morning, dear investors. As always, it's a pleasure to be with you today to share with you the results of the second quarter of 2024, which featured great operating results, which we've been showing in 2023 and the first quarter of 2024, but also a milestone took place not only in Pay, but also in the real estate vehicle investment firms in Colombia. And it's that Pay has been placed on the MSCI Colcap Index. And this is relevant because before 6 months before, we couldn't be placed in this index. And as of last year, the Operators Index helped us with this index. In May, we had the fortunate call in which we were part of this index, which helped us with our liquidity. In May, we had transactions for more than 200 billion pesos. And on a single day, we had 164 billion. And it's very important to say that Pay is the last species that's part of the securities market. So it gives us major representativeness and helped us with liquidity, which benefits all of our investors. So today, we have the chance that an international investor like BlackRock can have 6.1.9% of outstanding securities. So as we've planned, now we have major milestones when it comes to the basis of our investors. In May, the volume transacted reached 238 billion, and in June, we reached 102 million. So by the end of the first half of the year, the daily average of transactions of Pay stocks in the secondary market exceeded 3 billion pesos, a sum that we were way far from in 21 to 23. Something else that's very important and positive is the possible entrance of the security to Standard & Poor's Colombia Select, and this news will take place for the rest of 2024. So we haven't only had great news in capital markets, but also our portfolio has been reprofiling for of the 3 billion that we have in of debt, 1.8 billion were renegotiated with banks with better conditions, not only in rates, but also in terms. And this allowed us to have a decrease of our debt cost close to 200 points compared to what we had at the end of December 31st, 2023. As a positive consequence of the decrease of the interest rate and the distributable flow that we can provide investors next week. We increased this twice compared to the previous period. So we will be providing sums of 31 billion pesos, which will allow us that by the end of the year to be range of 130 and 140 billion pesos. There's something that's important that we'd like to share with you as well. The manager has been very diligent analyzing different alternatives to launch structures that will allow us to profile our debt profile, and we are considering and analyzing the benefits of different schemes. One is issuing participative securities. Remember that Pay is a recurring issuer in the securities market. Since the vehicle was launched till today, we've made 11 issuances and 12 bonds. And these issuances were suspended because of the pandemic and as a result of the results of the capital market. But today, we see that there are good conditions to retake these alternatives. So we're studying the CFO and the team the convenience of making a new issuance of participative securities because we see positive aspects. One, the sustained decrease of the interest rates, also the liquidity of the security. Third, the appetite from international investors. And this will allow us to build the issue, which would benefit us a lot, and the resources will be used to pay debt. In terms of managing the real estate portfolio, there are topics that Andrés Ruiz and Andrés Esquivel will discuss. First, we're optimizing the portfolio, and this means that we have and we may and we ha have the cooperation of the structuring of the project. We estimate in addition, in terms of decarbonization of the portfolio, this is something that we have as one of our megas. 3 or 4 years now, we've built the corporate sustainability model, and this allows us to make major developments. Today, we have mentioned, just to mention a milestone, to measure the greenhouse gas emissions of 66% of the assets of the portfolio, meaning two-thirds of our portfolio have been measured, and by the end of the years, we'll be doing the entire portfolio. So we wanted to share with you the developments of the strategy, and now let's look at the most representative figures at the end of the second quarter of 2024. First, in terms of the composition, there is no major change. Assets under management, 9.5 trillion pesos, with a leasable area of a bit more than 1 million square meters. Tenants are 1,400. And remember, we make a rigorous selection, both national and international tenants of all industries. And in terms of investors, which I mentioned, we have exceeded 6,000. There we have institutional pension funds and insurance companies, but today more than 5,000 people. As to the diversification, since we haven't made new acquisitions recently, it's stable. We have shopping centers and corporate with 42 and 34%. And our intention, and we've been building a pipeline very robust, is to enhance the category of logistics, which is 16% of our revenue. And as a result of the diversification that we've made in recent years, we have assets in education, health, and hotels. So this subcategory is 5% of the total portfolio. And as to the total results, we'd like to highlight the following. We had physical and economic vacancies very similar to what we showed in 2023, with slight increases. What positive news that we can share with you, as you know, One of the assets of PAVE with the most vacancy was Atrio, which has very good technical specifications, which was completed in the pandemic, and we had the big challenge of everything virtual. But today we have signed a very good agreement of 8,000 square meters. This will happen in 30 days. But also, we have three processes underway that add up to 25,000 square meters. So the 8,000 plus the 25,000 means that we're reaching almost 30,000. So now we have an occupancy close to 66% of the total area. Also, we'd like to share with you that revenue have had good performance. We end the first half of the year close to 376 billion, up almost 12% compared to the same period in the year 2023. The net operating margin, 313 billion pesos, up to more than 12%, and EBITDA, 270,000 million, which is has increased almost 12%. As to the margins, we can say that they're healthy. NOI is above 83%, up 32 points, and the EBITDA margin dropped 3 basis points at 71.6%. Something else that's very positive is the distributable cash flow. As you know, 2023 was complicated in terms of cash flow. We only sent out 63 billion pesos, basically because of the high interest rates. Our debt cost was about 15%, but today we've decreased this because of the lower rates and handling the debt for you. And so for the second quarter, the distributable cash flow is close to 38 billion pesos, representing 900 pesos per stock or security. When we look at dividend year, not only when it comes to the patrimony value, but that of the market, we have significant growth. In 2023, the DY was 229. In 2024, we estimate it will end at 4.3 to 4.7%, and this is a very good increase. But we must always highlight that we still consider that we're not at the levels that we want to reach. In 2025, we project practically to double the DY. If today we're at 140 million pesos, by 2025, we should be close to 250 billion, which would be a recovery to levels of dividend yield that PAVE had before the pandemic and the increased interest rates. So here I want to show you good trust here. We have good liquidity. Remember, 3 billion. We didn't see this since 2017. The security has had the normal volatility in the variable rent, and this led us to levels of an inclusion of the and also we had a contraction, and we hope that the good news that we're sharing with you will increase our security, and we can close the gap of the equity value. And to end, and to give the floor to Andrés Felipe, we are analyzing right now the convenience of an issuance. We think it's relevant to share this with you. The capital structure of the vehicle is important. Today, our level of debt is at 44%, and an issuance of securities will allow us that the resources that we receive from investors could be applied to debt, having a debt of this indicator. Also, remember that the prospect of PAVE states preferences in its bylaws, so all investors can access an eventual issuance made. So now let's give the floor to Andrés Esquivel, who's talk about the commercial portfolio.
Thank you, Jairo. Good morning, everyone. Next, I will provide you a summary of the commercial management of the second quarter of the year. On the left side, you can see the indicators of physical vacancy, in which by the end of the second quarter, we closed with a percentage of 5.93, which is an increase of 50 basis points compared to the prior quarter and 5 basis points compared to the same period in 2023. This will be explained in the next slides. Also, economic vacancy, which you can see on the right-hand side. Here you can see that we closed the quarter at 7.81%, representing an increase of 66 basis points compared to the first quarter and 24 compared to 2023. In the retention indicators, we retained it in the second quarter, 17,000 square meters. And year to date, it's almost 80,000 square meters, which is 97.6% of the agreements terminated in this period. For square meters placed in the second quarter, we placed 2,300 square meters. And year to date, it's 5,400 meters. As Heido told you before, when it comes to the commercial management, the placement of these meters will mean an additional reduction in the physical vacancy, reaching 5.64%. Now, looking at the categories in detail in corporate, as you can see, we had a variation, the physical vacancies of 20 points, percentage points, which are basically explained by the reduction of the leasable area at Carbajal, seen in Bogota. You can see that this asset was 100% occupied by Carbajal. And in the beginning of the year, when we received 5,000 square meters, we had to make an intervention, which led that these 750 meters would be used in a very common area to turn this asset multi-tenant. For the second quarter, we have a vacant area of 4,300 meters, which we are managing through 15 prospectus, which represent almost 52,000 square meters among these prospects. As we've mentioned, we have the final phase of closing the transaction with the company that will take 8,000 square meters in Atrio. And there are three deals that are in their completion phase. One for 2,000 square meters for Carbajal, which will allow us to occupy more than 50% of the area that's vacant. Also, 400 square meters of Liana in Medellin, and 1,000 square meters more at the Atrio Tower, which is used for a gym that would be part of the complimentary service that we have in that building. By closing these transactions, which again, they are in their final phases, would allow us not only to reach 13.50% of physical vacancy, but it will allow us to reduce 20 additional points, all three deals, to close the indicator of physical vacancy in the corporate segment at 13.30%. Moving at the commercial or shopping center category, you can see that there are very little variations for the physical and economic vacancy, and our physical vacancy is even below that of the market. Also, on the right-hand side, on slide 12, on the dark gray, you can see the bars of the variation of sales, quarterly sales per square meters in shopping centers, and the light gray graphs. This is the performance of total traffic and people that go through our shopping centers. So you can see the variation is marginal between the second quarter of 2024 versus that of 2023. However, when we analyze these, the ADA year to date, we do see increases of sales of 2.71% and 1.6% in traffic. And here it's important to keep in mind that the industry of shopping centers has been falling an average of 5% on both indicators. This is data, a follow-up, a company that specializes in measuring traffic and sales here in Colombia. Moving at the category of logistics, this is the where we showed the most variation and increase vacancies. And this is basically the renegotiation of the deal that we had with Siemens. Remember, Siemens is the main occupant of the park, and we had that renegotiation with 30,000 square meters. We managed to retain 25,000 meters, which corresponds specifically to the offices that we have in the park. This allowed us, or better, generated an increase of the physical economic vacancies reaching 1.5%. On the right-hand side of slide 13, you can see the good trend shown by the prices of leases in this category in different cities. It's worth highlighting that these are increases above 25% in Cali, Barranquilla, followed by Medellin, and also Bogota with an adjustment of 16%. This good trend is being taken advantage of in several contracts and will be materialized in the cash flows in next months. To end, looking at the category of hospitality and specialized, on the left top graph, you can see the occupations of our assets and college residences. The orange line, you can see the occupation of CTU, which is in Bogota, in which we have a decrease of 3% of the occupation index. And for Boho in Cali, we have a variation of 10% compared to the semester of 2023. These trends are explained mainly by two situations that took place. First, the desertion of new students that enrolled in colleges, and second, the prices that are so high for tuitions. However, with the operators of these assets, we've been developing strategies in terms of prices and marketing to try to reverse this particular condition. On the top right-hand side, you can see the trends for the occupation and revenue of our asset, Cala Blanca, in Barú, the peninsula of Barú. As you can see, the orange line shows the occupation levels, and we have very good peaks on the first quarter of the year, and then a decrease of these indicators of the occupation. What's important here is to underscore and compare this second semester of the year, which we have 56% versus last year, in which we improved 3% our occupation. While in revenue, this was 4% below, but it has an effect 100% related to the exchange rate of these periods. Now, to end, in our specialized assets, we have 100% occupation in our healthcare assets and educational assets without any novelty related to what's taking place in health. today in Colombia. But as we've said before, we were proactive and we made the sessions necessary so we weren't exposed to possible risks. And today, the contracts made with Carrollton are made normally. So this is the summary that we had for you today. In the next teleconference, we will be developing the negotiations made. Thank you. Thank you, Andres. Now let's look, please, at slide 16 and talk here about the financial results of the vehicle. On the second quarter, what we can see on the top left, the revenue was 377 billion, more than 7% than what we shown in 2023. And for the accumulated of the year, we increased almost 12%, where the vehicle reached operating income close to 376 billion pesos. So this increase is almost 40 billion pesos compared to what we saw last year. And basically, as a result of the adjustments and the duration of contracts we've made throughout this year, as Jairo and Andres mentioned, we've had a retention of 97% of our contracts, and we've been incorporating inmates and which have even been above inflation, is what we call scaling income in terms of market, as what Andres showed us in terms of the price of square meter. And as we manage the vacancy of the portfolio, we can capture the increases of revenue, which not necessarily are limited to the inflation of the year immediately before. Therefore, operating expenses of the vehicle grew relatively lower, and these grew close to 9.6%. As a result, that the most representative expense of the vehicle operationally are the property taxes, which grew below 7%, which in turn allowed the operating margin or profit reach 152 billion pesos, increasing a bit more than 10%, and to the date, almost 12%, reaching 313 billion pesos. And this allowed us to grow organically. The dynamics of the generation of profits, keeping margins, operating margins that are quite healthy. In the quarter, we kept margins, as Jairo mentioned, close to 82%. And even in the semester, we had an increase of a bit more than 30 basic points so far this year. And this has a very similar dynamic in terms of the EBITDA on the bottom left, which is what we have in the what we have after we cover financial expenses. And we almost increased our EBITDA in the second quarter 10%, with 130 billion pesos, and a bit more than 260 billion pesos so far this year, keeping EBITDA margins of about 71.6%. And the same message, really, in the operating profit, and we can grow organically the profitability of the vehicle, but also we can maintain margins that are quite healthy. I'd also like to highlight that the margins of this year already include, and we've mentioned this before, the new commission structure approved by our shareholders at the end of last year, which incorporates the alignment of interests. Because when the vehicle has a good performance, the commissions go hand in hand with this. Ending on the very bottom right, we can look at accounts receivable. And we can highlight here that accounts receivable remain at very healthy levels. We end the quarter with a bit more than 12 billion pesos. This is a marginal increase compared to what we saw in the second quarter of last year. And I would like to highlight here that as a proportion of the revenue that we saw in the last 12 months and what this can represent as working capital or resources that are not available yet to be distributed, the indicator moved from 0.92 in 2022, less than 1% of the revenue of the last 12 months, to close to 0.77%. So in that sense, in relative terms, you can see that development of accounts receivable is still healthy because of the good ties that we have with all of our tenants and the good profiling that we have from the commercial team when it comes to selecting who we include in our portfolio. Now let's look at slide 17, please, to look at the performance of the vehicles debt. Jairo initially talked about one of the most important milestones, and is the reduction of the financing cost when it comes to the end of 2023 to the end of the second quarter. We can see a significant reduction from 14.08, then 12.85%, and this, and then 11.96%. And then surely you've seen that there's a drop of interest rate and the drop given made by the Colombian Central Bank. But this has to do with the manager and its renewal or renegotiation of credits of 1.8 trillion pesos, which allowed us to increase the duration of the portfolio and reduce financing cost. And also in some cases, we even reached indexations below 2% in terms of spread. The spread is basically the rate that charges the financial entity above inflation or the intervention rate, which is a reference rate that we use, or IBR. This, in terms of the context, tends to be a very good rate. And historically, when we compare this with inflation rates that were lower, it's quite competitive. So this has been a relevant element that we have wanted to share with you. In terms of indexation, we have made an increase of inflation precisely because we have been, and with the reprofiling of the debt, very good in competitive conditions. And today, almost 55% of the portfolio is indexed to the IPC, and a bit more than 27% is indexed in IBR. I would like to highlight, and you can see on the bottom left, the level of indebtedness of the vehicle, where we move from 34, almost 34.1% at the end of 2023 to close to 33.6% this second quarter. We're talking about a drop of 40 basic points, and this is a natural effect of the vehicle because since the leases have been growing, have been increasing two digit, so now that we're capturing the renegotiations and better occupation levels, that has an effect because the investment properties in the real estate market collect the improved income. So the properties really, or the debt better, weigh less, weighs less. This, of course, led to what Hyde already discussed, and allows us to make a distribution of more than twice the distribution seen in August last year, which really begins to collect the good performance of the real estate portfolio. And what we can see is the lower cost, operational and financing, to have these increases of distribution. We still have a lot to do in terms of distribution, although we're anticipating to double the cash flow by 2024 compared to what we saw in 2023. We are still aware that the effort should continue because in coming years, we should continue to double our distributable cash flow while these events take place. I'd like to mention something. When I say that the distributable cash flow that we will distribute in August will double, I mean it doubles for the quarter. For the second quarter of 2024, the cash flow distributable will be distributed in August. And I'd like to highlight this to avoid confusions. So now let's move on to the next slide. This is something that really makes us feel proud. Of course, it calls to us to the work that we have ahead of us. And this is what we told you early on, and is that we are part now of MSCI Colcap. The index, this was launched in May 2021, and it was a local construction. It's a composition of an index that initially has only ad stocks. This is the first time the methodology of MSCI allows a participative security like that of Pay, which represents a vehicle of real estate investments, can be included. So we're talking about 25 securities. What does this mean? We have 25 stocks. There can be one, two stocks of the same issuer. Of course, for instance, Bancolombia has ordinary and preferential stocks, and both are part of the index. So we're talking about 25 securities, but there are only 20 issuers that quote in the BBC. And why were we included? Mostly because of the migration made to the variable income market for some time now. And that allowed MSCI to evaluate that participative securities can be part of this index. How is this weighed? It's done due to the liquidity and the capitalization of the market, meaning how many securities are outstanding, right? And these, when outstanding, when they're multiplied by the unit security, lead to market capitalization. And that in turn creates the leverage. And we reached 10th place with a participation of 2.86%. And this, of course, has had good effects in terms of liquidity, where our volumes are of 260 billion, 6 billion pesos, and we have a daily liquidity that has reached the levels before the pandemic, and mostly start to open the door to the elements that Haydo mentioned early in terms of alternatives of capital markets, and eventually consider the issuance of participative securities. Remember, rebalancing this index is done every quarter. It was done in February, in May, with May's inclusion, in August, another balance in November. We have the last rebalancing. I would highlight in November because it's the month or in which officially the methodology of MSCI makes the new inclusions or exclusions of the index. And it was atypical that Pay was included in May. Our expectation was to be included in November. And that's why we received this very positively, this event. Now, on slide 20, what you can see the performance of the market, of capital market, and the development of the price of the participative security in the secondary market. It has grown 17%, almost 75,100 pesos. And so Pace has positioned in terms of volume and liquidity as the eighth species most liquid as a result of this event to be included in the MSCI. And the entrance of international investors like BlackRock through the ETF, which replicates the index. So ETF seeks to place one by one the composition the MSCI defines, because many investors invest through the ETF or the participative title with the cold cap, and that's why we reached the liquidity levels that we've mentioned. And perhaps to give you a perspective here, it's not the only index that exists in Colombia. We have MSCI Colcap, and there's another index called Standard & Poor's Colombia Select, which is replicated by another ETF, which is HQRC, a company called Global X. And that company, a methodology that's quite different and aspires to replicate the most representative species of the economy of Colombia. And as a result of what happened with MSCI, we can see that there's a chance, a high likelihood, that in the second semester of the year, we can be included in that index. So Global X would have to have another relevant actor that will surely help us to have a better liquidity. Now let's talk about the outlook. And I'd like to make several comments. Overall, the outlook really here that you can see here is mostly related for the end of the year in terms of revenue. We see that the rank is between 770 and 800 billion pesos. It could be higher than 800, and that's why. And we have this range because when it comes to what we aspire to lease throughout the year, have taken some additional months than what we expected. So that's why you're adjusting this range. Of course, that this does not compromise at all our profitability, but our range is tighter. From 81.5 to 83.5% in the margin NOI and the EBITDA, and it allows us to anticipate that we should be in the middle of what we have been sharing with you, but more on an uptrend when it comes to vacancy and dividend yield of the market. There are no changes made. But in the patrimony dividend yield, the higher range has been moved from 15 to 13% because the fall in inflation that we've seen throughout these first 6 months of the year undoubtedly has an effect on that patrimonial result or the valuation of the properties that we see through the commercial appraisals made by third party independents, and that has an incidence of what is generated here. So that's the most relevant in terms of outlook. And with this, I would open our Q&A session. We're going to make the biggest effort to answer them all. To answer all of your questions. So, if you could give me a hand here, please. Thank you. As of now, we will begin our Q&A session. You can write your comments through the platform. So let's read the first question, Jairo, from Susana Prieto. She asks, "You show good operating results and a good market, but the price market isn't that good. Could you explain why the value of pays has dropped? Could you give us a prognosis about this?" And let me mention, this question is very similar. We can't read them all. And it's one from Carlos Arango, Hernando Rivas, and Jorge Hernan Jaramillo as well, related to the price of the secondary market. Thank you, Andres. Yes, we must remember that the nature of pay is that it's a portfolio of real estate, and it's backed by securities or stocks in the that are listed. And we have to keep in mind this to answer this question. Okay, although the real estate portfolio has shown positive results, like vacancies below 7%, operating margin above 83%, the performance in the securities market looks at other variables, exogenous even, related to interest rates and the stock market itself. So sometimes we see a lack of alignment between the price of the security and the performance of the operations. This has happened especially deeply in 2023 when we had real estate results that were positive, but a stock that dropped in price. Remember that at the end of March 2023, the discount out of our stock in the market reached 80%, meaning the value in the market was only 20% of the equity value. So from the second quarter till today, we have had a significant recovery, but that doesn't mean that the stock cannot be volatile. As Juan Felipe said, one of the indicators to have the liquidity that we're sharing with you is the migration to the variable. And this leads to good benefits, but it means more volatility. So we expect for the rest of the year, the positive news of the real estate results and our inclusion in the second index will help us with volumes, and the gap between the securities will close. So, again, it's important to keep in mind that when it comes to rate, the real estate support, which is 1 million, a bit more than 1 million square meters on a long-term basis, is represented in securities that have a performance or collect better variables like interest rates. And that makes not always the value of the stock will reflect the fundamentals of the business. So our mission is always to communicate on a timely basis the results of pay so the market can incorporate the good news and create a better price for the stock, as we saw in the first quarter of 2023 till now. But again, we will have volatility like any stock that's in a variable income. Thank you, Jairo. Next question from Catalina Camacho Espinosa. She asks, "What effects are there with the new pension reform on pay?" The same question is always asked from others. I would say that we've made a deep analysis on this and a close follow-up from Cole Capital of the pension reform. And the results of this reform really indicate that the level of contributions to the system are not changed at all. What does change, where those contributions arrive, and the resources that private pension funds receive, a good portion will go to a savings fund. And with the law today enacted, should go to a savings fund that will be managed by the central bank. So what elements do not exist and that we will be looking at? The regulation that surely is made by the URF, along with the financial superintendents, looking at the regime of investments of that savings fund. That should say where those resources should be invested, how much for the public, what, how much to the stocks in Colombia, how much to alternative vehicles, local and international, in which, of course, pay will be one of the players in which the regulation will give us a better idea of how these resources will be redistributed. We see that there's a new player then in the market, like a fifth fund, and that will begin to interact, and it could have positive effects in terms of liquidity. And we know liquidity is very important, and it has been hit a lot in the past 5 years in the capital market. So eventually, a new player could boost the market, and eventually the investments regime eventually will promote investments in Colombia. And promoting investments in Colombia for locals can be positive, since it could give us a priority regarding the alternative investments that we can make internationally today. And again, it could give it a different face in the market. Yes, I'd like to compliment by saying there's a lot of disinformation on this topic. First, the pension reform doesn't mean that the resources managed today by private pension funds will be transferred to another place. No, they still manage them. But when it comes to meeting the requirements of the pensions, they would make the transfers to Corpensiones. So the current investment will remain the same. So right now, there is no need of a disinvestment from the AFPs, the private AFPs. And secondly, I would like to repeat, that new player for pensions is the central bank. The pension reform foresees that the central bank will handle the resources, and that obviously has to be closely followed to understand that this is managed well, because there are chances to see that everything is really well done. So when it comes to the pension reform, okay, we have the law already enacted. Now we have to look at the to see if it's constitutional, and we'll see then if it falls or not. And if it passes, what will change really is that the flow, which is of almost 20 trillion pesos received by private mentions, will be less, and then part of that will go to the other actor. So we really don't have an impact on the current stock, but we have a limitation of the cash flow that the AFPs can receive and could invest ahead. And that's important. Doesn't mean that it's not important but for pay, but it has nothing to do with the current stock of the resources that the private pension funds manage. And now we have almost 3 trillion pesos that's managed by private pension funds. And this represents 55% of stocks, outstanding stocks. Thank you, Haido. Next question from Catherine Ortiz. Talks about the issuance of stocks. When will this issuance take place? The discount today is 50%, and why do you consider this chance? I'd like to mention that this question is made also by Maria Clara. Mario Suárez, Julián Hernando Rivas, and Diego Rodríguez. And in that sense, we address the same question, the same item. Thank you, Andres. And please compliment me if you think so. One of the most relevant aspects for the rate, we have a clear guidance and the prospect that establish, among other things, a cap that was recently amended of 40 to 35%. We have an indicator that also measures the cost of the debt, which, remember, limits the level of debt for new acquisitions, and it's less than 1.7. Also, the prospect talks about different instruments that we have to manage the capital structure, and this has to do with the issuance of participative stocks or securities. And remember, during these 17 years, we have made 11 issuances. It's true, today is a challenge. Today we have a big gap in our PAG, but we do consider it's quite positive to make another issuance in conditions that are attractive. Remember, our prospect includes the right of preference. This means that the investors today have the chance preferentially to access an issue as the vehicle states. So now, if there's a discount and with it, we can have a profitability for that new section of 13 to 14%, that attractive profitability can be captured by our current investors, and solely the percentages that were not taken by investors, that preferential right would be placed. But it's very important to say why we consider that this is an alternative that we have to analyze, and I hope that we can take place. When we have high interest rates and we can decrease the level of debt and therefore allow the cash flow that we will deliver to our investors in the last line grow, that will obviously be something good for our investors. So these are, among others, some of the reasons why we consider that right now we should study closely the conditions to make an issue of securities. Also, we're not only focusing on issuing securities. We have made studies, analysis of other mechanisms. We can make a third issuance of ordinary bonds and bonds for the secondary market, or we can use a tool that we've been using for the past 4 or 5 years of commercial pay or marketable papers. So the vehicle has a series of tools for its to structure its market capital. We know that the conditions in recent years have been complicated, and this is why we have been inactive in the capital market. But we have conditions now, and we think we should make all this on a timely basis. I would like to add the factor of liquidity and the appetite of international investors, and the relevance eventually of increasing the outstanding securities. When we talked about the composition of the index, the nature of pay, since it's a real estate capitalization, seeking constantly to titillate the assets of our portfolio, which has not been part of this process, can have an impact on the liquidity. And it really ends with the analysis we've made, helping with better prices in the secondary market. So while the liquidity or without the liquidity creates for an investor a higher risk premium than what is demanded from an asset that's much more liquid. So this is an element that we are keeping in mind as well, because we believe, one, it's because of the performance of the portfolio per se, but liquidity in the market is something important and must be managed correctly for investors. Next question from Jorge Hernan Jaramillo. Why is there a No, did I s skip one? No, Sebastián Palacio Ojal. I I don't think that you should go through the tase. It made sense 2 years ago in the market, but with the new issuance, makes sense. Do you think that the intrinsic value is closer to the market value and away from NAV? Let me make a brief comment. I would say this. The emission of TAs, when we thought about them, it was a discount of NAV, and we incorporated that preference right that investors have. It allows today's investors to have a prospective profitability. It's very attractive, especially regarding what the investor can receive from the distributions generated by the vehicle in next years. On the other hand, it creates value by recognizing that the cost of capital in the market has changed because of the new setting in which we are, and surely it will be normalized. But reducing the level of leverage of the vehicle is still a goal that's core for us in the strategy. But that doesn't mean that making an issuance in the market intends to give a message that that's the fair value. We think that the fair value of the vehicle is an app, but that's one thing, and the other is what the market, through liquidity risk and political risk, can incorporate. And something else I'd like to mention. The effect of the discount isn't from pay, it's in the entire market. All issuers today in the stock market listed that are part of the index have discounts against their intrinsic values that are deep, even above 50%. And we believe in NAV, and it's more of a context of the market than of pay per se. And I believe that these are important elements that we should keep in mind. Yes. I would also like to highlight, Sebastian, that in terms of that question, it's not really a confirmation that the assets correspond to a discount like the securities that are issued. No, it's an enabler to look at strategies to decrease our financial load, because all of the resources of that issuance would be used to pay debt, and that would have a positive effect on one of the two components of the contribution of profitability of pay, which is the dividend yield. So if we can have a dividend yield, so if we can reduce that will affect the better yield of the vehicle, and therefore the market should incorporate an improvement in the price of the security in the secondary market. So we're firm saying that the real estate portfolio is appraised according to international standards with proven metrics that make them independent. Unfortunately, the value of the there that not only reflects the value of the security in the secondary market, and the intention is that the market can see signs to report that gap. So this is very relevant, this issuance. In recent years, we have been handling our debt, yes, but everything has been focused on substitutions or reprofiling. And then we have years of very low concentrations. But since we leverage the debt, it will do it, issuing bonds so that we can have resources to pay our debt. So this is the essence or the genesis. That's why we consider it makes sense. And obviously, it's very important that we can also make people aware that the assets of pay have a value that's way above. And there's an opportunity so that the security in the secondary market can be higher. And I'd like to mention also, there's another question that we left out that's related to this. Could you give us a time and amount? Yes, we're making all the analysis right now, and you could say that this is a priority that we have in the second semester. The exact moment will be given to us by the market and it depends on the appetite. Right now, we're making efforts like we made in the first quarter. We're making the non-deal roadshows with international investors. Now we'll have another non-deal roadshow with more regional investors in Latin America that have expressed their appetite for real estate vehicles like pay. And eventually, that will allow us to refine that window and the amount. Well, obviously, the aspiration is always, or ideally, to go back to the levels of titularization that we had before the pandemic. But it's premature to talk about a specific amount right now. I agree, Andres. The amount and the exact date really depends on the consultations we make. And that Andres will be sharing with you and will allow us to better reprofile our issue. Now, next question from Jorge Hernan Jaramillo. And Andres, could you please give us a hand here? Why is the degradation of the economic vacancy in the last 12 months? Is it significant? Does it make the portfolio to be impacted? What is really the impact here? Thank you, Jorge Hernan, for your question. Keep in mind that it's important to make two clarifications, one in form and the other in. Remember, the indicator of economic vacancy by the end of last year reached a percentage of 6%. That 6%, reading it in the market, is a very healthy amount. And it's within the ranks. Remember, in the markets, very difficult to measure the economic vacancy. And generally, those that do, really, they measure the physical vacancy. And there could be a spread between both vacancies of about 3% above the economic vacancy, meaning our indicator of physical vacancy, which ended at 4.33% at the end of 2023, is a very healthy figure and it's below the market. And that makes us understand that that same level of economic vacancy of 6% is healthy in the industry. Now, the growth seen in the last two quarters is directly related to the completion of two contracts. One, that of Deloitte and the 5,000 square meters that we told you about in the park in Park City, which was occupied by Siemens. Now, the peace of mind that we want to give our investors is that the number of physical and economic vacancy are within the ranges that we estimated in our budget, meaning the management of this vacancy first is not a surprise, and second, we are not improvising either when it comes to placing these square meters because we knew beforehand all this result. So when it comes to the revenue, which as we told you are above 11% and the NOI above 12%, these are aligned with the budget of the vacancy, physical and economic vacancy managed by the portfolio. This is added to the good pre the good figures we showed you of the contracts that are almost to be completed or terminated, and that would allow us to have a reduction of 130 basic points over the economic vacancy, meaning we are close to 7.5% of the economic vacancy here to answer the projection that we have over this indicator. Here it's important to highlight that in this analysis, we only have or keep in mind the contracts that are in the process of being signed and not two prospects that Hydro initially mentioned, which are close to 20,000 square meters for the Atrio. assets. So this would allow to improve even more the figures that we're showing or projecting. Thank you, Andres. Now we have two questions made by Hernando Rivas and Humberto Gomez. They also talk about vacancies. One, Hernando asks why the placement of Carvajal still places us in vacancies that are so high, higher than the market. And Humberto Gomez asks, what is the current vacancy of the Atrio building and the perspectives? You already talked about this, but we can address both questions. Yes, I think that both questions end up together, and the explanation is as follows. Hernando and Humberto, to not generalize, as we've already said, physical and economic vacancies of the shopping and industrial segments are below the market and are absolutely controlled. Remember, the physical vacancy of the shopping center portfolio is at 4%, while the physical vacancy of logistics is at 1.5%, which is way below what the market is today. This means that today the explanation of the vacancy is focused on the corporate segment. And what's the explanation for this? Atrio has a GLA of 46,000 square meters, representing today 15% of the total vacancies or spaces available in Bogota. And that obviously, since it's within our portfolio, makes it have a significant importance or significance when it comes to players in the market. Again, with the projections that we're making very responsibly and rigorously regarding our prospects, this would allow us, with the deals made, Atrio would end with an occupation of 26%, with a contract of the 7,600 square meters that we're entering, and both negotiations, if made, and they're both in their final phase in terms of negotiation, that will allow us to have a total occupation of the asset of 73%, which would leave us aligned with the market indicators. Thank you, Andres. We have a question from Fernando Reyes. Jairo, if you could give us a hand with this question. With regards to the virtuality of trade, it's very hard to look at the profitability of new investments in so this is a question. Meaning, is there a risk and will it affect the long term? Will virtuality really have an impact on the long term of pay? Thank you for your question, and it's really relevant for a portfolio like ours that operates in different segments, hit so hard by the pandemic, like shopping centers and education. The big conclusion here is that the recovery of presence is more consolidated, and obviously a second pillar, the good assets can be defended. What does this mean with regards to those two pillars? One, indeed, during the pandemic, we had occupation levels close to 15 to 20%, not vacancies, but really use. But today the use is again at 85-90%. So we're not talking about vacancies, but more of use. So this demonstrates that with time, 2 years after the pandemic, we see the consolidation of presence. It doesn't mean that virtuality isn't a tool that some of our tenants or users demand. However, clearly, shopping centers, which are well conceived, well located, and have a good tenant mix, are responding with occupations above 98%. So we don't see an impact or an overall impact because of virtuality in a portfolio like Pay. Really, we see opportunities. It's important to be making a proactive management of our assets to respond to the new needs of the tenants. Within our portfolio of Pay, we have 16 shopping centers that have an average occupation above 98% and with record sales like those in 2022 and less positive but acceptable this year. So in this category of shopping centers, we have to handle well the tenant mix to meet the needs of end users. In Columbia shopping centers, more than going to buy there, their experiences. And that's why we have food and entertainment there as well. And that's why we have been looking at them and making adjustments in that tenant mix. But it's not the only category. Also in education, Pay owns 60% of colleges next to Los Andes University, and this has 1,500 beds, and it's one of the largest in Latin Americans, occupied 90% of the time. Although in education, we've seen major changes, and not only related to virtuality, but also demographic changes. We have less birth rates today. Today, formal education is challenged by other education systems, and that has led that the enrollment to colleges have dropped. But still, with a value proposition that's good in experience, we have occupations like those that we mentioned above 90% in education. And we have another tenant in that same category in Medellín, it's CESDE, in which we have a long-term contract, and we were analyzing the chance to support CESDE to open a new campus in Medellín, in which we were in a place. So to conclude, we do see that real estate assets of good quality can defend themselves, and they're still demanded. We see an overall risk in the industry, but we believe that the assets will still be used by end users. I insist. The managers' activities are very important here to keep in mind how offices need more meeting rooms, more entertainment areas for their employees, and we can make those changes to not reduce the appetite for Pay's assets. Thank you, Jairo. Question from Arturo Santander. Could you please confirm how much have you committed to produce the level of debt? And we see a reduction of 0.4%. Arthur, thank you for your question. Indeed, we have a reduction of 0.4% since the end of 2023 to the end of this second semester, the second or this first semester. And this is a result of the use of the vehicle or the profit of the vehicle, which has allowed us to have this effect of diluting the debt in proportion to the assets that our assets under management portfolio has. Perhaps it's small, but in terms of resources, it's a big amount. Your specific question on over what we have committed to, more than committed to, really our goal is that we want to reach levels close to 30%, and those levels of 30% could be reached between 25 and 26. And this, of course, would imply a reduction that's deeper than what we've seen in this first semester and connects to the capital market strategy that we've mentioned. And anyways, in the absence of a transaction with the capital, we should have a deeper reduction at by the end of this year. So we anticipate that we'll be closer to 32.2, 32.5 for the loan to value because of the profits created by the equity and the development of the business. Next question from Javier Villegas. Let me answer the first one related to CapEx of the year. And Andres, let me compliment when it comes to the decrease of debt. What we can use for this purpose could be one, the disinvestment of an asset, or second, to apply the resources to the debt, the values of the debt. In recent years, efforts have been made to find possible buyers in the market that pay the reasonable value of the assets of pay value. However, we have more buyers than sellers in the market. So instead of giving a discount to a third party, like a buyer of an asset, we think it's more strategic to structure an issuance of securities in which the discounts would be captured positively by investors that access that new investment. And as I've said before, our prospect includes the right of preference. So those resources that we have to issue, the participative securities, can be used to pay the debt. And that way, we can decrease the levels that we have today. And also, the real estate assets can implement their value and increase their value in time because of the adjustments made in the leases, which create the cash flow, which allow us to establish the value of the assets. So if there's a decrease, a vegetative decrease because of the increase of the leases, to accelerate that debt, we have to implement a strategy like the issuance of securities or the disinvestment of a real estate asset. Okay, next question of Gabriel Villegas. Two, really. One is the CapEx of annual maintenance and the CapEx for the investment for the redevelopment of the 90th Street project. Let me answer the one of CapEx that the vehicle has in a year. It could be at 50 to 60 billion pesos for the entire portfolio. And this particular year, we are more on the higher range. And that's the natural process of managing the portfolio. These resources are more for higher, for different refurbishings of the assets, which we obviously aspire to capture more profits because the assets have more value because of their dynamics. And these are not only for preventive, but also for improvement purposes. And Jairo, could you answer the question about the redevelopment of the 90th Street Tower? The CapEx estimated for the development of Seguros del Estado is from 45 to 50 billion pesos. This investment should take place from 2025 to 2026. And it places us in a very positive scenario because we capture the bondages, the benefits of this 90th Street Tower. We have a great tenant like Seguros del Estado. And third, we signed a long-term agreement. And that way we respond so that our assets will not become obsolete in time. So the CapEx is 40 to 50 billion pesos. Thank you. Orlando Posada asks about the possible disinvestment to reduce the debt and improve dividends. I think you already discussed this when you talk about the sources of capital. And that same question was made by Mauricio Suárez. And really, it's a process that remains. But as we mentioned, we've got to make smart disinvestments because the buyer has to look at the qualities of the commercial value of the assets. Yes, Andres. And perhaps because of the amount, we haven't put this in the media, but we've made three disinvestments, some that are not strategic, and we found a buyer that values the attributes of that property. And we think that we've made three disinvestments in the past 2 years. So in that sense, we can say that we are still attentive to this, and we don't want something to be more reactive, but to be an ongoing strategy in which we evaluate which asset met its cycle, or if there's an urban regulation that allows us to liquidate it to make the investment. And it's not really reactive, not only for 1 year, but it's our ongoing purpose to seek and find disinvestment opportunities for investors. Thank you, Jairo. We have two more questions on the list, one from Fermín de la Hoz, and this is for you, Jairo. How do you analyze the proposal of the government to include the right to the prices of leases in Colombia? This is also asked by Luis Hernando Hernandez. This is relevant, yes, of course. Business really must always look for the best leases. In Colombia, so far, the regulation only has to do with how leases of houses. And these are increased according to the consumer price index every year. But the other segments are just met, agreed upon by the parties when it comes to their raise. So the idea with this new regulation was to move from only housing to the other areas. And this, of course, will have a big impact on us. And we have to manage and explain the inconvenience of a measure like this. But what we understand from different sources is that the purpose of the government focuses more on housing, that's what the government focuses on more than on the commercial segments and properties, and that have very different dynamics, and that the government does not want to intervene. So we'll be keeping you in the loop when it comes to this topic. But again, the government's interest today is mainly on housing, and it's not a category for us. Thank you, Heido. We have a very last question from Carlos Gomez on an update of what we're doing with IFC. What we can tell you is that we have been making major developments. Last month, we traveled to Washington to meet with the IFC and to touch on several points for the negotiation process. We're really in the final phase to close these items with IFC. We had the opportunity not only to speak with those that are present in Colombia and are leading the transaction, but also with those that are responsible on the sector, the real estate sector, and also with credits, which really allowed us to explain the business structure of pay, which is particular for IFC. The IFC really wanted to see how we operate, our rates, REITs compared to those internationally. And it helped us to clarify several questions that IFC had in this process for the under to understand the business model of a company like ours. So we're making developments there. and we're making competitive decisions, and especially with the financial market in Colombia. Would you like to add something?
No, Andres. I think you gave a good summary. It's an entity that has very high standards, IFC. We have been making a negotiation that is stringent, has been good in protecting the financial conditions of the credit better than those that we can have in the local banking system. So, Haido, with this, we end our talk today. Please give us your closing remarks. Thank you, Andres. Thank you for the investors that connected. Thank you for your questions. I would like to give you a good message. We have a team of 120 people working hard to provide the best results of the vehicle. We are aware that we are living in a complicated time, but we have been able to make changes, especially with the value of the security of our stock has been going up. And external matters like interest rates also can help us. It has to do with the fact that in the financial world, when you have a good asset, in very soon you have very good results. And we hope that we can deepen by the end of the year our correlation between the interest rates that is very, very relevant. So again, thank you, and we'll wait for you for the next call.